Thank you, Cindy.
Oh, I thought this was a coin. I thought it was my lucky day. Just turns out it's a piece of plastic. Buenos días. ¿Cómo están? Bien. Qué lindo verlos a todos. Ya me dan ganas de continuar hablando en español por la próxima media hora. That made me want to speak in Spanish for the next half hour, but back. Let's go back. Rewiring my brain to the second language. All right, so we are in a sermon series about stories from the Bible, and we've been taking the same topics that we took for the previous curriculum, which is why God, why church, why Jesus, why suffering, which are the basics of our faith, the basics of what we want you to build a foundation for your faith. Because we believe, we truly believe that these topics are fundamental for your faith, for your faith, for our faith. If we don't know why God, who's God, why is he worth worshiping, then we won't understand, and we will continue to build our life with traditions, with cultures, with religiousness, but faith is so much different, right? So we want to inform you of those things. We wanna facilitate that to you, and we are hoping and we're praying that that does cause transformation in your lives. Amen? So today, I get to talk about talking to God. And the first thing that came to my mind was that, you know, we've been talking about the topic, and now we're sharing stories. And last time when I was sharing the topic itself, I already told the story, so it's like I kind of shot myself in the foot because I already shared it. But I think today what I want to do is really dig more into the story of Moses and how God's presence, when we talk about talking to God, we're talking about entering his presence. Can we for a second just realize that us, mere human beings, filled with flaws, filled with sin, can be in the Creator, God Almighty, holy, holy, holy's presence? Amen. It is amazing. It is a miracle. It is a miracle that we don't deserve. But because of Jesus, we have the privilege to enjoy. So today's sermon, it's called With God. I won't talk to you about for God, so what you need to do for God, or through God, the things that God gets to do through you. Today, I want to focus on with God, your relationship with God. Talking to God is being with God, walking into his presence, which I was just saying, it is the biggest miracle in human history that you and I can just start talking and enter into God's presence. So let's dig into the word today. We're going to read from Exodus 33, verses 7 to 11. Moisés tomó una tienda de campaña y la armó a cierta distancia fuera del campamento. La llamó la tienda de la reunión con el Señor. Cuando alguien quería consultar al Señor, tenía que salir del campamento e ir a esa tienda. Siempre que Moisés se dirigía a ella, todo el pueblo se quedaba de pie a la entrada de su carpa y seguía a Moisés con la mirada hasta que éste entraba a la tienda de reunión. En cuanto Moisés entraba en ella, la columna de nube descendía y tapaba la entrada mientras el Señor hablaba con Moisés. Cuando los israelitas veían que la columna de nube se detenía en la entrada de la tienda de reunión, todos ellos se inclinaban a la entrada de su carpa y adoraban al Señor. Y hablaba el Señor con Moisés cara a cara, como quien habla con un amigo. Después de eso, Moisés regresaba al campamento, pero Josué, su joven asistente, nunca se apartaba de la tienda de reunión. So to give you a little bit of context, Moses, who gets called by the Lord through the burning bush, talking to God, he literally is able to speak to God and talk to him, and he gets called because God says, you're going to liberate my people, you're going to bring them to the promised land. And Moses' first reaction to that is to focus on his weakness. This is early in his ministry, the moment that he's being called to what he's going to do. And God's answer to him is not what you and I would advise someone that's sharing their weakness. It's not about saying, be more graceful on yourself, or no, you're not like that. You should, I see something different. God is not sugarcoating it for him. He just says, I'm with you. I'm going to be with you. So it is God's presence, which from the beginning of Moses' calling, that makes the entire difference in spite of his weakness. And I don't know who needs to hear that today, but if you're approaching God relationship from your weakness, don't think, honestly, society today will focus more on like, no, don't be so hard on yourself, no, that's not true. It's like, God, it's not going to do that. He will say, honestly, all those things, your weakness, they're still there. I know you, but I'm with you. That's what makes the difference. Not that you can be super strong, that you can work really hard to change certain stuff, is that my presence will be with you. That's what makes the difference between Moses and any other man of his time. So that's what happened from the beginning. So fast forward to 10 plagues and all the miracles that God makes through Moses, and he's able to liberate his people. They are in the desert. And Moses went up Mount Sinai to meet with the Lord. And while he's receiving the Ten Commandments, people downstairs, below the mountain, are becoming anxious. They need more. They saw the same plagues that Moses saw. They witnessed the sea splitting, just like Moses did. They saw the Egyptians, the Pharaoh, being defeated by God. And still, they didn't trust God. So they're still making that they're not trusting. They're doing their own thing. They're trying to worship a golden calf, as we know. And it is in that context that this passage that we just read happens. When Moses is going down and he sees that, he gets furious. So because he gets frustrated with the situation, the Bible says that he pitches a tent outside the camp to intentionally meet the Lord. I found that picture and I thought it was so, so good, because sometimes when we think about tents or stories from the Bible, we think of the fanciest things because we live in 2023 in the U.S., right? But it wasn't anything, special in that sense, anything fancy, anything pricey. It was the intention of the heart of Moses saying, I am so frustrated with what's going on. I need to meet you. I need to be with you. So the Bible tells us that he takes that and he pitches. I think, is that a word? Okay, it makes me think of peaches, but no. It's really hard. But those are yummy too. Outside of the camp, so he can meet the Lord. This is very important, because Moses could have easily thought and easily say, well, the Lord said he would be with me, so why do I need to go intentionally meet the Lord if the Lord is with me? Which is something that you and I would think about our relationship with God, like, right? With grace, sometimes we get confused and we're like, well, if God is grace and he loves me no matter what, then why do I need to do anything at all? Why do I need to seek the Lord? Because he was promised by God his presence. That his presence, God's presence, was going to be with him. But still, that doesn't mean that he will settle for that. He still put the tent right outside the camp so no distraction will be there, so he could meet with the Lord. Jesus told his disciples that they should not fear, because he will be with them. He will be with you. He will be with us. He will be with me until the end of times. But that's no excuse for us not to have a heart that seeks for God's presence, that steps away from routine, from voices, society, and rhythms of life, and seeks the Lord. That is where Moses' heart was, seeking the presence of God. And this tent, the Bible says, this is in verse 7 still, anyone. Can you say anyone? Now let's say cualquiera. Anyone that wanted to inquire of the Lord would go to that tent. That was the purpose of that tent. It wasn't just for Moses. It wasn't just for the Levites. It wasn't just for Joshua. It was for anyone. But the Israelites watched Moses go in. They bowed down. They revered. They rose out. They stood outside the entrances of their own tents, revered it, respected, bowed down, but they never entered. There is no record of them entering the tent of meeting. They religiously respected and acknowledged what Moses was doing and bowed down to that, which it's a sign of respect of, I believe what you're doing, but still missed out on the opportunity that the tent was for anyone inquiring of the Lord. I don't know if you've used the internet this way. I'm kind of weird sometimes, but I want to check what's going on in the rest of the world, as everyone else does with social media. But you could do virtual tours of all places in the world nowadays. I've visited the Eiffel Tower, Louvre, I don't know how to say that, the museum in Paris, seen the Mona Lisa, you know, and other places in the world as well. But it's just not the same as being there, right? It's not the same. Technology has done wonders, and even that is better than never seeing those things. You know, even going virtually is better than not going, you know. I really love World War II history, and I've been able to visit. They have virtual tours to Auschwitz. And you can see that, and they've done a really good job to even make it interactive and to, you know, when you point at something, it says what that part of the camp was for and whatnot. And it's so amazing because it helps you learn a lot, but at the same time, it's not the same because I'm not really there. And it is the same, it's the distance I feel like the Israelites kept with the tent that makes me think of those examples of, like, I see it, I can testify about it, I understand it, I do believe it's true, but still, I'm not there. I'm missing out on being there. It's not the same. The only one the Bible tells us that took advantage of the tent of meeting other than Moses was his assistant, Joshua. So much, he went above and beyond so much that the Bible says that even Moses would come back to the camp, but Joshua remained in the tent. It's fun to hear from others, you know, how they love God, when they talk about God, how they fear God, the miracles that God has done for them, healing, miracles, and all kinds. But it's way better to get news firsthand. It's way better to talk to someone when you say, this is my God. Let me tell you about what my God did. And if you have some time, I love food, so we can go grab some food. And I would love to share. God has done incredible miracles in my life over and over and over again. And actually, Not that I intended that, but that was the main reason my parents ended up converting. Because they were like, what is going on here? Like, why is God doing this to you? You know, after you believed and he's doing this and after this and after, and again, we wouldn't have room to share all the things, but he's done such huge miracles and that's what happens. Other people look as well. Because he wants to heal you. Yes, he hears you. He hears your pain, your anything that you're struggling with. But the biggest goal is that you will worship the Lord and that others will also worship him. So the Israelites got to see all these miracles firsthand, and they still missed out on being with God when they had the opportunity to do it. The miracles were enough for them to say, we are God's people. We are God's people, that is it. But Moses went ahead, and Joshua went even ahead even more. Other people wouldn't want to come in the tent. Joshua, on the other hand, wouldn't leave the tent, and the tent was available for anyone. Again, others wouldn't even come inside the tent. Joshua here wouldn't even leave the tent, and the tent was available for everyone. So when talking to God, we can make the mistake of settling for his mighty acts and not pursue to be with him. And I'm not saying don't pray to God for miracles. I think if I ask, actually, I'll ask. Raise your hand if God has ever done a miracle in your life. Right? We've all seen his hand in our lives. But don't settle for that with your relationship with God. Don't settle for that. Just like Moses did, go more and seek to be in a relationship with him. Seek his presence. It's like the story in Luke 17 of the 10 lepers, and we're going to go over it really fast. Un día siguiendo su viaje a Jerusalén, Jesús pasaba por Samaria y Galilea. Cuando estaba por entrar a un pueblo, salieron a su encuentro 10 hombres enfermos de lepra, como se había quedado a cierta distancia. Gritaron, Jesús, Maestro, ten compasión de nosotros. Al verlos, les dijo, vayan a presentarse a los sacerdotes. Resultó que mientras iban de camino, quedaron limpios. Uno de ellos, al verse ya sano, regresó alabando a Dios a grandes voces. Cayó rostro en tierra a los pies de Jesús y le dio gracias, no obstante que era samaritano. ¿Acaso no quedaron limpios los 10? Preguntó Jesús. ¿Dónde están los otros 9? ¿No hubo ninguno que regresara a dar gloria a Dios excepto este extranjero? Levántate y vete, le dijo al hombre, tu fe te ha sanado. This is a beautiful, beautiful story of not settling for God's mighty acts, but using that as an opportunity to be in a relationship with him, to be with him. Jesus still healed the 10 lepers, right? He still did. And 100% man, 100% God that Jesus was, he knew that not all of them would be thankful, and he still healed them because he's great in compassion. But the attitude of that one man changed everything, and it is the example that I think it leaves to us. As he's leaving and he's seeing, yay, wow, this must be the Messiah. And then he's like, wait a minute. I'm walking away from the Messiah super happy for my miracle, super excited. I acknowledge it. Do you see the similarity with the tent of meeting? I acknowledge it. I revere it. I can bow down to it, but I'm still at the distance. That was the attitude of the other 9. But this other one was like, wait, what? I gotta go worship him. This is God. I can't stay with the mighty act. Not that that's nothing, of course. But the best part is I can be with him. So if I can choose between being healed and being away from him or being healed and being with him, why wouldn't I go back? And that is the difference when we think, what I need in life versus who I need in life. Many of us, our faith functions the first way, or depends on the season as well. That we think, what do I need? God, you know, we really want this and this and this and this. And it comes from a prayerful heart, and it makes sense, but it stays stuck there. It never moves forward. From God, I need this and that, and please, we know that it is through your mercy that we get all stuff. But God, by your glory, by your mercy, do not ever, ever take your presence away from us. Because even if the first thing fails, aka what we need, as long as who we need is with us, then we will be fine. All will be fine. That is the biggest difference. It's like Moses' phrase or comment when he's about to, you know, God is basically showing like, okay, there's the promised land. And he says, wait a minute though, if your presence doesn't come with us, then we don't want to go. Can you imagine that attitude in our lives? He's basically saying, desert actually sounds great, you know, it's not, I mean, I love the sun, the sunburn, it's not that, you know, I'm getting used to it, and, you know, we were talking about Sukkot, the Festival of Tabernacles, they had to sleep outside in tents for 40 years, it's like, yeah, you know, I'm getting used to it, this is way better, and sand everywhere, and if you've been in the sand dunes or any sandy place when it's windy, it just, oh, it hurts so bad, it's like, as you're eating bread, you have parts of sand everywhere and whatnot. Basically, he's saying that all actually doesn't sound so bad if you're with us. This, not desert, I always mix those two. Desert always sounds great, by the way. But desert, it's way better because I know you're there with me. Promised land, even though you promised, and sometimes we catch God with that, right? Like, you said this and you said it and you have to do it because this is your promise. And we forget, but are you going to be there, God? Because that's the main thing. Obviously, I would love, and I mean, he's not a man to lie to us. So if he promises, he will do it. But we never or barely ever stop and think, but you're going to be there, right? Because if not, God, then never mind my healing prayer. Never mind the house we've been working for. Never mind helping with my relationship. Never mind anything, Lord, because as long as you're with me, I don't need anything else. Everything's important, but this is the most important thing. That is the attitude that Moses is having. He's saying, in that case, Lord, I prefer the desert. So that is the difference. What we want versus who we want. And it's interesting how we pray in that sense. Let's leave that slide there for a little bit. But, oh, yeah, that one. Let's think about those things we actually consider worth praying or talking to God to versus the ones that we don't. For example, moving to Cherry Hills to a 7-bedroom, 5-bedroom house. Thank you, God. You know, moving to a low-income neighborhood with high violence and unattended kids and addictions and whatnot. Let me pray about that and I'll get back to you, right? Moving to a different job, a better paid job, thank you and amen, right? No need for prayer for that. That must be God. There's no other way. His presence must be there. Leaving the job that you have for a job that pays less, but it makes more impact for God's kingdom. Let me get God's confirmation on that. Right? Using my savings for a vacation in a cruise, let's say. Yes. By the way, all these things are great, okay? Like, I've gone on vacation. I haven't moved to Cherry Hills, but I would love the idea of moving to a good neighborhood and whatnot. But I'm not saying those things are bad. I'm saying all the things that we bring to prayer versus the things that we don't. Versus, God is really putting in my heart to give away all this month's salary to a family in need. Oh, let me see about that. Let me ask my pastor for guidance. And if God tells me, I'll do it. I need to hear it, though, you know, audible voice, you know. We seek those things for prayer. But other stuff, we take for granted. Do you get the difference? Moses' example was very clear that God could perform the mightiest act, and he will praise him for it. But if his presence was not with him, then he didn't even want that. Even the promised land's worth was not worth it if God's presence wasn't there. Psalm 23, which is a very famous psalm, has this part that says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear nothing because you are with me." What makes us not fear things from this world anymore, guys? All the struggles we have, all the worries we have, all the pain, it is that it is his presence. So whether you live in the Fifth Avenue of New York or God asks you to move it to a slum to India, it is his presence that is the primary thing. So the first thing I wanted to say was that don't settle for receiving God's miracles, God's mighty acts, and miss out to seek his presence. In verse 11 of Exodus 33, in the tent of meeting, the Bible says that the Lord would speak to Moses face to face, as one speaks to a friend. Face to face, that level of intimacy. When we say with God, I really mean like talking. Imagine your best friend right now, or a group of friends that you may have, someone that you can say anything to and you know that they've got your back and they're going to call you out when they need to. And like, imagine talking to God that way. That's the way the Lord would speak to Moses. Face to face, as one speaks to a friend. John 15:15, Jesus said to us, to his disciples, "I no longer call you servants, but I call you friends." Again, wait a second and think about the miracle that it is that you can talk to the God Almighty as a friend. So how do you speak to God? There's many ways we can talk to God, and the way we talk to him dictates the way, the way we see God sort of dictates the way we talk to God. And the way we talk to God is the type of relationship that we'll have with him. So do you see God as your lawyer, as talking to a lawyer that you have to plead your cause and say like, "Lord, but here's my proofs that that I'm innocent, you know, or I'm guilty," or whatever it is that you're pleading your cause like a judge. How do you talk to God? Do you talk to him like a paramedic that you only call in case of emergency? You know, you don't call 911 unless it's an emergency. And that's your relationship with God. Like, you know, if it's really, really, really bad, ultimately, I'll tell God, you know? But otherwise, I've kind of got it. I've got this. You know, going to school and making most of the day, I've got this. I don't really need to pray to God for that. You know, going to work, I do that every day. I don't really need to pray to God. But, the things, you know, if it's a 911, then okay, now we need backup, you know? We need the paramedic. We need God. Do you pray to him like your policeman, that you're just waiting for the ticket, you know? Like, if God is trying to talk to me, it's because I'm in trouble. That's actually one of my childhood traumas thing, that if someone for some reason says like, "Hey, I want to talk to you for a second," immediately my mind goes there. I'm like, "Oh my gosh, I am in trouble," you know? And that's, sometimes we think the same of God. If he wants to something with me, it's because, you know, this is it. Thank you for everything, but this is it, you know? Or do you speak to him as a friend? Because that's the way Moses talked to him. During COVID, and I think everyone in this room, let me take a look. The kids are gone, actually. I think the only one that actually is not in this room, that wasn't part of the pandemic, would be Luke, right? Andrew and Sarah's new baby. But everyone else, at least we were talking about Lila being a pandemic baby and whatnot. But everyone was aware of what it took to be in the pandemic and being in quarantine, right? That you couldn't talk to anyone face to face. And then it was like, you know, they say talking to people through Zoom is like a paranormal experience, you know, where you're like, hey, are you there? You know, if you're there, can you make some noise so we know that you're there? And it's like a talking through a medium or something like that. It's just not the same. And although we're very grateful, I am incredibly grateful that I was born in this age where I can talk to my parents and my friends in Bolivia every day if I wanted to. And sometimes I have hours-long conversations. It's not the same. It's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable because no matter what, I mean, and all of you who've been here and you've been at work or at school or, you know, in meetings, you know that it's just not the same to be in a Zoom meeting as it is to be in an office meeting. It's just not, I mean, obviously there's times when you're like, this email could have, what is that? This meeting could have been an email. Which is like, okay, yeah, this could have been through Zoom, it might as well. But other stuff is like, no, you know, especially when someone, I remember talking to my parents in Bolivia sometimes, be like, Dad, I mean, I'm in a video call and he thinks we're talking. So I'm like, Dad, I can see your ear's hair. Like, you need to move it out. He's like, he doesn't even realize, like, how, you know, like, I'm like, because I'm seeing, you know, you're pointing at it. And he's like, it's like, oh, whatever I wanted to say, I forgot already. You know, it's so, so annoying. So why to look, no matter what 5G internet we have, it never will be like meeting people face to face. So if we think that about people, about relating to people, relating to friends, why do we act the opposite with God? Where we could be intimate, we could be with Him, why do we seek a long distance relationship? Why do we take the 5G image of hairy ear? By the way, my dad doesn't have a hairy ear. So he'll come in December, and I don't want you two guys to be like, can I see? Or, you know, your daughter said. But why do we do that? Why do we go to God with this shame sometimes? Like, God, it's me again. I'm sorry, you know. With such shame, with such lack of confidence. And in Spanish, we have saying like, empezaste el partido con un gol en contra, right? Like, I don't even know how to translate that. Like, you started the game with a goal against you. Yeah, it's like, you're already starting, like, oh, well, you know, I'm going to lose, and so, fine. You know, it's like, no, you don't have to. The Bible actually says in Hebrews 4:16 that we can, you and I, can go to the altar of grace, to the throne of grace, with so much confidence because of what Jesus did for us. And we can receive mercy because of what Jesus did to us. And we can talk to God as a friend because of what Jesus did for us. So don't walk to the altar in any other way that's not confidently, because it's not about what you can bring to the throne that will make you available to approach the throne. It is what Jesus did for you to be able to have access to the throne of grace. Amen? You have full access to the throne of grace. But this is the thing, church. You guys can come back if you want. No one can access the presence of God for you. I cannot have a friendship with God for you. I cannot talk to God instead of you. Only you can do that for you. And this is, I'm not trying to preach an individualistic gospel, because I'm here for you, we're here for you. We want to help you and point you to God, and we want to facilitate spaces where you see God, and we're going to believe next to you. When your faith is weak, like ours has been and is many times, we promise we're going to be there for you. But the thing is, we can't access the tent of meeting for you. We can't access God's presence for you. You can do that. You have the prayer in your heart that only you can tell God. And we can come here Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, guys, and be like the Israelites. And you can come here and bow down to what we do and respect what's going on and even praise, because that's what they did. They praised from where they were, but still be at a distance. Or you could be participant, the main character between your story with God. What distinguishes us as Christians from the rest of the world is not that we change the word happy for joyful or lucky for blessed, or that we come here every Sunday, or those are characteristics. But what distinguishes us as Christians from the rest of the world, it's God's presence. That's what should make the difference. That's what makes people turn around and be like, why do you do that? Why do you do that? Actually, and I wasn't planning to share this, but yesterday I was in the fundraiser for Tortuga, for these guys who do amazing stuff with that. And one of the testimonies that Nat was saying is like he fixing music gear. Would that be the okay, yeah. For some people, for free. And people saying like, why would you do that? Like, who does that? And that being an opportunity for him to say, because I love God. And that opens so many doors in people's hearts. Through Jesus, you can access the throne of grace. You can have a relationship with God. Your relationship with God Almighty through Jesus. Like 1 Timothy 2 says, for there is only one God and one mediator between God and man, and his name is Christ Jesus. You can't access God through your goodwill, your good acts, or your moral behavior. Those things are consequences. The fruit that you give should be consequence of your relationship with God, but it is through Christ that you can walk confidently to that. And that is a huge difference between how it used to be before Jesus, because to approach God, you had to go through ritualistic religious practices that we no longer have to go through. If we could understand that right here, right now, as we say the name of the Lord, you have access. You're sitting in heavenly places along with Jesus. That's what the Bible says. So don't miss out. Church, don't look at the distance. Don't live your friendship with God through Cindy, Johan, and I and the elders or whatever's going on. Seek God with all your heart. Seek God with all your heart, because he's your friend. He's your father. And yes, he's your friend as well. There was a prophecy in Isaiah 7:14 that said, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and we'll call him Emmanuel. Emmanuel, Jesus, God with us, guiding us, directing us, and stopping us. And then hundreds of years later, Matthew wrote, Matthew 1, now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet Isaiah. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. Do you know who your tent of meeting is? Jesus. You know how to talk to God as a friend? And not as an enemy, as a boss, as your paramedic, as your lawyer, as your judge, as your policeman. Jesus. He came to us, so God with us, so then because of that, now you can say, me with God. He loved us first. Emmanuel, God with us. He's the complete description and the incarnation of what it is to be with God. So I want to encourage you, church, that no matter what the situation is, just like the psalm said, even though, and you can fill the blank, even though my family still falls apart, even though my finances are not great, even though I'm not finding the love of my life, even though I'm not getting healed, even though I hate my job, even though, I shall fear nothing because you are with me. That's what will dictate the difference in your life. Just like that sheep that has every reason to be terrified, because we have reason to be terrified nowadays of everything. But our answer should be, even though those things, I actually won't fear because you are with me. So let's stand up and praise God with this song that talks about his presence and what his presence does in us, because once we enter his presence, it is humanly impossible to walk from it the same way. It is impossible. So I encourage you to make use of this time to submerge yourself in his presence. And I can't tell you what he will do, but I can tell you who to look for. You look for Jesus.